Hey, everybody. My name's Sloan, and I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank Jen for asking me to speak tonight. What a privilege to speak at this group. This group means a lot to me, and I wanted to collectively thank everybody who does service at this meeting, who puts it on every week, because I come here every Thursday, and it means the world to me. So my sobriety date is May 5th of 2008. I have a sponsor. I have some sponsees. I work 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability on a daily basis, and I have a home group. So I usually start, so my sponsor always tells me, and so does the book, that we tell in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. I usually go along those lines, but I usually like to start when I share about the first time that I drank. I think I was about 12 years old, and I was living in a place called Conroe, Texas, which probably, I guess one person in this room has heard of. I was like, what? It's outside of Houston, and I was 12 years old, and we had a regular fridge in our house, and in the garage we had a beverage fridge. So in the beverage fridge there was beer, and I didn't really know what beer was. I had always known that it was older adults would drink it at parties, but it didn't taste as good as Sprite and Coca-Cola did. And I didn't really understand why, but there were commercials, and there were all these billboards about it, and people would it was when people would get festive, they would drink this stuff. And I didn't know what it was about, but I definitely was down to try it out. So I did, in my room, watching the Disney Channel when I was 12, Heineken. It was great. And what I noticed was when I got up after I drank the whole thing, and it was in a bottle. It was those green bottles. It was really hard to get open because I was how does this work? And I didn't know. And so finally I drank it, and it was so good that I decided to have another one. And granted, it did not taste good, okay? I am very sensitive. I have a really bad gag reflex to a lot of things. Sprouts, I can't eat sprouts because it gives me a gag. It's gotten better, I think. But anyway, so that's besides the point. Wow. So I was it didn't taste that good. I peed a lot. I was dizzy, and I was picking out my clothes for the next day, and it just, that feeling of that's how it felt. All inside of me. And I really liked that. And I didn't know how often I was going to be able to do it or who I was going to be able to do it with. And it seemed kind of weird doing it by myself in my room. And I was 12 and nobody else was really talking about doing this. And, later down the line, I don't know exactly how much I was doing that. But there eventually became, on the beverage fridge, there was a lock. And all of the, non-alcoholic beverages got moved into the other fridge, so I had access to those, luckily, but it wasn't what I wanted. So, and my alcoholism progressed really quickly. I'm 21. I got sober when I was 17. I started coming to meetings when I was 14 or 15 years old. I should mention that my dad got sober when I was 10 years old. So I had a little bit of experience with, I knew about AA. When my dad got sober, he tried to explain it to me, in a 10-year-old way. And he was it's a place where people go to, and he had stopped smoking cigarettes. So I think he said to, stop smoking cigarettes, or, in a way that I could understand it. I was so I called them white tooth meetings because people were whitening their teeth, they were going to get clean, because I think he explained it that way. So that's what I knew AA as, a place where people went to clean up their life. Little did I know, but my alcoholism progressed really quickly. I stayed up really late at night. I did whatever I could. And drugs are a part of my story, you know, and I did whatever I could to get whatever I could get to make me feel different. And I didn't have a preference. People talk about it was whatever you got, put it in my mouth, up my nose, wherever I can put it. So that was funny. Whatever. oh my God, this is going great. So like I said, so I was staying up late. I was stealing my dad's car. I would switch back and forth between my parents' houses to get, like if my mom wasn't treating me right, like my mom didn't let me get high or drunk the way that I wanted to, I would go to my dad's house, and then my dad would get mad at me. And I've gotten in physical altercations with my parents because of this stuff. And I had a cast on once. And hit my dad in the face with the cast, and it was, you know, and haven't really thought about that much, but it was conveniently during the time of a very severe hurricane in Houston, so he told people they got hit with a branch, which I thought was like the stupidest thing ever. I was like, how can you tell people you got hit? Well, you were outside during the hurricane, like, what are you... But, there was one time when my mom had to drug test me because I guess, I don't remember what was going on. A doctor at one point, which, by the way, I want to know if this is after the meeting, talk to me about this. A doctor at one point called my house and left a message on my answering machine that I had turned back positive for drugs or something while I was at the doctor. I don't know how that happened or, like, who told them to do that. I guess my parents did. But so then word was out, I guess. But so there was one day where my mom, the stuff that I put my parents through from drinking and drugging was so terrible to watch. There was a day when my mom gave me a drug test, and I filled it up with water and food coloring because my mom was a cake decorator, so we had an abundance of colors of yellow, and put it in the microwave, and I passed it, and she started crying and told me that she knew I wasn't like that, and she knew I didn't do that stuff, and I just... Those are the points when I started knowing that, like, this kind of stuff wasn't normal. I shouldn't be getting... drug tested. My mom shouldn't be finding bottles of alcohol and the fake plants in my room. you know, and I was hanging out with people I shouldn't hang out with. And sometimes there were, like, guns involved in the things that I was doing. And sometimes I would wake up in the middle of a situation where I did not want to be in. And that was really scary. And getting so sick, my alcoholism caused me to be physically ill, and not in a good way. Right, I don't know how it could be in a bad way. So, like I said, my dad was in AA, and, you know, and there was one night where he came home, and I was with a group of girls. I like to hang out with people who drank like me, because it was really annoying if you didn't. Like, why are we hanging out? There was one night where my dad left me and my friends in the house for the night, and I was like, Dad, it's a night in, it's great, like, whatever, I'm not going out, not doing anything. And he had a friend in from out of town, a very close family friend of ours that's very dear to our hearts, and he went to a nice dinner out with his friend, and he came back and walked in, and the bathroom was, like, the second door on the right when you walk into the house, and I was there with three or four other girls in the bathtub, it with a toolbox, and he just was like, and I hadn't come to at that point, and I was piercing their belly buttons with pliers and screwdrivers, and they were screaming. I don't know if it ever got pierced. I don't remember. They often tell me, like, I can't believe you did that to us, and I was like, dude, you let me do it. But they were screaming, and I just walked, and I don't think I had... And really, it was really embarrassing because our family friend was there, and I don't think I have very many clothes on. And I like walked up to my dad, and I was like, "Hey," and he was just like, "Whoa," you know, like I just, I like it just, you know, when that happens when you like talk to people, poor. So that same night, and I came to around the time, and he had, I went in his room, and we were like sitting in his bed talking, and. He had been aware that I was doing stuff, and he said, and he, you know, like, he didn't freak out when he found out I was, like, doing drugs, like, you know, smoking a little pot, like, drinking a little beer. He didn't freak out, but he was aware of it, and at this point in time, he wanted to say something about it. So he said, "So do you think you can stop?" And I didn't. I said no. I don't think that I can stop. And after that, we went to Disney World for like a few, maybe like a week or two, and I tried to stay sober, and it was like the worst ever. It was like the worst experience I've, and it was like at Disney World. And it was the worst experience. It was like, oh my God, this is so terrible. I didn't want to live sober. Once I found like the way that I could be with alcohol, I didn't want to not live like that. It was a constant struggle, and I have never had a legal drink, and it was a constant struggle to get alcohol for me. It was very hard to get it. My dad didn't drink, and it was just really hard for me to get it. So around that time when I said I couldn't drink and we went to Disney World, sometime around then I went to an AA meeting. And I got there late, and it was a women's meeting at a place called the Post Oak Club in Houston. And it's, like, underground in this, like, weird business building, like, off this side street of this big freeway. And I walked in, and this woman was talking about how she just wanted to be the cool mom. Like, she just wanted to be able to, like, drink and smoke weed with her kids. And she just wanted to, like, be... I was like, me too! I was like, I want to be that person, because I would always be like, man, if my dad just smoked weed with me, like, or whatever. If my dad just did, you know, like, drank with me, it would be fine. Like, we wouldn't have all these issues, you know. And he, and that, I didn't hear anything else in that meeting, but that made sense to me. I got that. I was very clear. I knew what that meant, and I knew that I was not. I tried the Disney World thing. I tried doing it by myself. I tried waking up in the morning without putting stuff in my system, and it wasn't working. So I knew at that point. I continued to drink. So I went to rehab my freshman summer after my freshman year of high school. That went really well. You know, what I learned there was that I could be sober, is that I didn't have to drink if I took the necessary actions that were required of me, so what happened? I was sober for about a year and a half after rehab. I had a sponsor. I worked the step, like, you know what I mean? And like, I did not. The book says half measures avail us nothing, and I found that to be very true for myself. I got drunk after a very long period. There are a lot of things that happened in my life during that period, but one thing that wasn't happening was me immersing myself in Alcoholics Anonymous. That did not happen. I met my boyfriend in rehab. He was in the adult unit, and I was in the like adolescent unit, and I like... slipped him my number during a like a session on like a sticker that we were using for a, like a workshop. That's really embarrassing. And we stayed together for like a year and a half. And like, you know what? Let me tell you something. I hung out with people in AA and we had fun and like we like went to meetings sometimes. And like, I got it. I knew that like if I want, like I was not doing everything that I could. And so I did. I got drunk. a day before, I had a year and a half sober on a Sunday night, right before school. I had 8 beers, wet my bed, and went to school the next day with a hangover and was incredibly sick. So first night, it was fun. And that's what it's like for me, okay? So I was like, okay, so I'm going to play this game for a little while. Like, that's basically what happened. And the important thing was that I knew that AA was there. And the entire time that I was drinking, I said, eventually, either something's going to happen to me. Like, I got pulled over once during that period of time, and I was like, this is it. Jig's up. You know, I had stuff in my car. I was like, this is it. And nothing happened. So I kept going. So, but I did that for about 4 months. And then I came back to AA, a total wreck, just a mess. I had a lot of, my mom passed away a few months before I had started drinking, which I don't say I started drinking because my mom passed away, but I had been through a lot of emotional turmoil, and I came back and I was like, so I think the way that I do this is that I do it full-fledged. I jump in all the way, and I have to do this or else it's not going to work, because I didn't do it full-fledged last time, and I got drunk. And, like, that was very clear to me. Like, it was very clear to me why I got drunk. Oh, sorry. Why I got drunk. And, like, so I came back, and I found this woman who, like, every time I think about her, you meet those people in AA that jump in and they save your life, you know? And she was one of those people for me. Her name was Allison. She worked at Central Market, which is like Whole Foods in Texas. And she was the flower lady. And I had such a hard time staying sober. I went to a Lil Wayne concert when I had 10 days sober, and it was like the worst experience of my life. I was like, yes, I love Lil Wayne. This is so hard. There are so many people like doing, oh God, it was like, oh. You know, like so I met this woman, Allison, and she was like, there were some reality checks. Like, she was like, okay, meet me Wednesday before this meeting, and then we'll go to this meeting, and we'll have dinner, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. And then, whatever, my dad's like, we have dinner Wednesday with your aunt, blah, blah, blah. And so I call her back, oh, I have dinner, and I can't do Wednesday. And she's like, what? You just told me that, like, you were going to meet me, and, like, we're going to do this. So it doesn't really work like that. And I was like, well, I have dinner with my aunt. Like, I can't be there. Like, sorry. And she was like, okay, like, that's not really, okay, well, that's your choice. Well, I'm here when you need me. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, come on, it's just one day, you know? And, like, reality check, like, that's how this works, you know? And I had not experienced that before in AA, okay? So I started meeting with Allison and, like, following her, like, it was my job. I cried on the phone with people for so long, like, when I came back, and, like, I was just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know why it's so hard. It wasn't this hard before. Like, I don't know what's going on. And just, like, I had, like, a car phone, whatever, and I would, like, drive around just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, all the time, I was that person. And and I would go sit in front of Central Market where Allison was and, like, ask her what I should do. And one time she was like, there are some big books in the trunk of my car. It's unlocked. And I was like, why does she leave her car unlocked? And because she's just like that. And so I got the books out of her car, and she was like, bring them to this place. It's this place called the Men's Center in Houston. And drop them off and, like, see how you feel after that, you know? And, like, thank God for, like, that kind of stuff. Thank God for service in AA, because I don't know, like, what I would have done without it. My hands were, like, so empty, like, all the time. Even if I, like, had I had like a full school schedule and like all this stuff to do and like, you know, a thousand things to do, but I was always like, my mind was just rushing. And what Allison told me was, is that the steps would really help with that and we should work the steps and how is your fourth step going and yada, 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 yada. And so I worked the steps with Allison and I moved here when I had 9 months sober and met all of you lovely people. And man, it's been such a blast, you know, like I've gone through a lot of stuff sober that I never thought when I was sitting in front of Central Market going, what should I do with my day? Like I didn't think it was possible, you know? I literally didn't, like at the Lil Wayne concert, like everything, like every step of the way, like I remember those points so vividly because it was so painful. It was so, like, someone had called me when I had, you know, a few days sober and said, my friend just got in jail and there are all these drugs in his house and he wants us to come do them. And so I'll see you there. And I was like, oh, I'm doing this AA thing right now. I got to go. And that's how that went. So that was real, like, and I remember those moments and I'm like, thank God. I have this, like, and people a lot of times talk about their life today and I feel like a lot of people in AA are very grateful for the life they have today in comparison to the lives that we lived before. And that's how I feel. So I don't want to feel that way anymore. I don't want to feel how I was feeling when I was getting drunk, and I do not want to feel how I was feeling when I first got sober again. And if you're new here today, there are other people that have felt like that. And if you're happy, that's cool too. I was happy a lot of the time too. But if you get sad, it's also cool. Because that happens. And, you know, today, like, I find that what works for me is what worked in the very beginning. Last night I was talking to a friend on the phone, and she was like, oh, maybe if you feel that way, maybe you should, like, reach out and help others and not think about yourself so much. And I was like, where have I heard this before? And that's what works for me today. And, like, that's what makes my life so cool. You know, like, I just, like, never thought I would be where I am today. I'm going to school and, like, into a profession that I absolutely admire. And I am so stunned that I made it. I wasn't supposed to get this far. Like, I didn't. When I was 17 years old, I had no idea what was going to happen because I was going to fail everything and everything was going terribly. And, like, staying sober has enabled me to, like, have and live out my dreams. And as cheesy as that sounds, I never, ever, ever thought that I would be this fulfilled and this able to be this helpful to other people. There are tons of young girls in this room that I've shook hands with and, like, it's been real, you know? Like, I like getting your phone numbers and calling you because, like, that's what helps me stay sober. And a relationship with my higher power, I should throw in there, has been also essential in this point in my recovery. So I have about a minute left, and I don't really have much else to say. So thank you so much for letting me speak here.